1480 KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Holy cow, it's another Thursday.
Holy cow, Cubs fans. You're leading the division and the world. Harry Carey here. No, wait. We're doing a fishing show here. We're going to talk fishing and hunting, and it is just about hunting season. There's a little bit of bass fishing going on yet, a little bit of walleye fishing. But you know what? Hunting's right around the corner. We get a little bit wound up in this part of the country.
Well, the geese look like they're lining up for hunting season.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, in Chicago, they hunt year-round. They just hunt a different species. Homo sapiens.
I was going to say, what species is that?
We wait in South Dakota, we just wait until the fall.
There you go.
Unless you're a prairie dog. Then you're in trouble. Oh, gosh. Oh, my. Did you hear who the founder was of ISIS?
Yes, I did. I heard it on the radio, on TV this morning.
You did?
Yep.
Who is the co-founder?
Well, I think it's one of the presidential candidates, isn't it?
Okay. Well, I didn't know. There was a rumor going around this morning. MSNBC had it. CBS had it. I mean, all the
Hello Land even had it. It was big news.
Was it big news? All right. Well, guess what? We get to leave the politics aside. We get to head to, let me see, the shores of Lake Mille Lacs. But we're not going to talk much about Lake Mille Lacs.
I doubt it.
Not with Jason P. Not with the Chikurit man, or as in the olden days. Do they still call you the cool one?
Oh, hey, Lynn, they do call me all kinds of different names. I've heard that lately, yes.
You've heard that lately? I think that was Troy Morris that called you the cool guy, didn't he?
Yeah, old T. Roy,
yep.
That's him.
Yep, T. Roy, did it stick? I mean, or was that just a fad?
Yeah, I think it was a fad, yeah, for the most part. These guys, most of them just call me JP, since those are my initials, and it's easy to say, you know?
Easy to say. You know, we've never asked this on live radio. What's the background? I know it's not Muslim. What's the background of Chikurit?
Chikurit is Polish, 100% on both sides of my family.
Oh, no wonder you're such a good guy.
There you go.
No wonder you're such a cool guy. We got a lot of good Polish and Norwegians and Czechs and Germans. We all get along out here in South Dakota, so we have no problem with bringing a good Polish guy like Jason Chikurit, especially when we have some news to share with
everyone.
We
even let in the Finlanders.
We do.
Yes, we do.
And, I mean, my grandpa, he moved up from northwest Iowa back in the early 20s, and he said, you even bring them Hollanders up here, and that's just a good time, too.
Oh, probably.
You might have to buy them a cup of coffee. Maybe that's why it works so well out there at Wall Drug. 5-cent coffee?
Oh, I bet. I bet so.
I bet every Dutch in the country's there.
I bet they are.
And Norwegians.
We want everything free.
We go for the free stuff, not
exactly
the 5
right.
cents.
We're even so smart, we stop for the free water.
Jason, sorry, we have to pause here for a quick break. We forgot to split up the McDonald's coffee here this morning. We're so broke, we have to split a $1 coffee between the two of us. But if we don't get a little shot of this, it's going to be bad.
It's been a long morning.
It goes from bad to worse quickly.
All right. So here's why Mr. Chikurit is with us this morning. Here's why we get to first congratulate you, Jason, on a fantastic 3 days of fishing at the National Walleye Tour Championship in Mobridge, South Dakota.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, it was probably the best 3 days of my fishing career, I'll tell you. It was a long time coming, and thank the God, good Lord, it paid off for me. Everything worked out for me.
Those were some mighty healthy fish that I was seeing pictures of Jason P. holding up.
Very nice.
I mean, We don't, I mean, just the girth of those babies. But what were some of the links on some of those fish, Jason? I guess we, you know, it didn't matter because the tournament was based on weight. But, man, what were the links on some
the
of those?
First day, the first day, my two overs, and that's what it was based off mainly, you know, we can only weigh two over 20 each day. So the first day I had a 21 and a half was my first fish. And I said the first over I get is going in the box no matter what the size. And second one was 27 and a quarter. That was just a beast. And it was right around 8 pounds. And then shortly after that, the camera guy jumped in and I caught a 24-incher that I had to throw back. And that one was real healthy. And then a little bit later, I had a 22 that I had to throw back. But that was the first day. And the second day, in the same group of trees that I was fishing, I ended up catching a 23 and a 25. And, you know, these fish are healthy, really healthy. I mean, they were gorging on food and nice and heavy, just the way you like them during a tournament. And then the last day I caught two more overs, but they were a little bit on the smaller side. I had a 20 and a quarter and a 21 and a quarter. So,
just enough, too, with a 7-pound lead going into the final day. But you know what's more fun around here talking about? What the heck were these fish spitting up in your live well? You know, were they chasing those lake, some call them lake herring? Is that what you think they were after?
You know what, Lynn? They were eating a lot of different things. Even in practice when I was catching these fish out of that deep water, and I would bring them up, they would spit up all kinds of different things. There was some really small shad in there, you know, maybe an inch and a half. I saw a few, and I'm pretty sure they weren't smelt, but they were long and skinny, probably three and a half, maybe 4 inches long. And then a few times I saw those big lake herring that were in that 10 to 12 inch range that came out of their mouth while I was fighting them, so. It was a mixed bag of bait that they were eating. It was, you know, it was all down there for them, and that's why they were there.
So some of those lake herring were getting up to that size, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they were. And that was the rumor going around, too, that I talked to some of the guys that were fishing the event, and Chad Schilling in particular, because I've known Chad so long that we used to fish together in the AIM Tour. And he told me one day during practice, he goes, there's not a bait in your boat that's big enough for what they're eating right now. And, you know, shortly thereafter, you know, I did see one burp up one of those herring, and he was right. You know, it was probably close to a foot long, so.
Oh, yep. Man. Those things get huge. It's amazing.
I've heard they're prolific eaters, so that tells us those things have really grown up over the summer.
Right.
Do you know, I think they were talking those things were 3-4 inches this spring. Are those aren't the same ones then? Those are probably last year's herring?
Yeah, I would say they're last year's for sure. Yeah, they're not going to grow quite that fast. So.
No.
Whatever the initial planting they put in the lake, those are the ones that are now 10 to 12 inches long.
Oh, my word.
And you can catch them ice fishing.
Right.
That's stupid.
Exactly. Yeah, that's crazy. They're eating good if they're going at that time of the year. So, you know, you weren't just dangling a little worm down there, fishing in 90-some feet, 100-some feet of water. You know, technique is kind of important. Did it? And you know what? It's kind of fun to know who a couple of your teammates are, because I was kind of watching, you know, a couple of your teammates to see if they were keeping up with you. Not everyone was getting bit.
That's true. You know, we'll start off by talking about that a little bit. I fished with Mark Hortz and Kevin McCoy. And they were nice enough to kind of give me the sweet spot all to myself the first day of the tournament. I had found a group of trees in practice, and I had told my co-angler, said, we were catching fish throughout the system, and I said, when we find that magical group of trees, I said, we're going to have fish on every rod. You know, and he kind of looked funny at me, like, yeah, okay. And I had marked a group of trees, and I came back to him in an afternoon one day just to check them, and soon as I entered the trees, I caught, I had four fish on at once, and of all sizes. One was 8 inches long, one was 16 and a half, one was 19 and a half, and one was 26 and a quarter. So wow. I told my partner, I said, that's it. I told him the mother load. I said, I'm leaving this area. All I did was I side scan, I side imaged it on my way out. I marked the edge of the trees and marked where the trees stopped. So I had a start and a stop on both ends and then marked the edge with my side imaging. So my guys, Mark and Kevin, let me have that area all to myself on the day one of the tournament. And that's, you know, thanks to them, that's how I got the job done early. And, you know, that's how you win tournaments, too. You know, you have to split some water and you have to be able to let somebody have a spot, you know, and not share fish. So that's how it all panned out.
That set of trees by the Whitlocks is not the biggest set of trees out there either.
No, this is a relatively small patch of trees that that's probably about a quarter to a half mile long at the most, quarter mile is more realistic. So relatively short passes, but it was on the right section of river, and the fish really liked it.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Speaking of Mark Kortz, he just asked if you were sick of bacon cheeseburgers yet. What's that mean?
that's funny you bring that up. That started a long time ago, and Mark won the, I believe it was the PWT championship when he started eating bacon cheeseburgers before the tournament for good luck, and he ended up winning that event, and then Mark actually won the PWT on Lake Oahe a few years later, and then we've had just great success since we started eating these stupid bacon cheeseburgers. So now that I've won this title, I'm sure we'll be eating them the rest of my life. But
that's kind of filling the night before a tournament when most people are down to salads and maybe a quick small little sandwich.
It got to the point where now we're just like buying one bacon cheeseburger for all of us, and then we just split it into sections.
that'd be about right. Where's your favorite place to pick up a cheeseburger like that out in that part of the country? There's not many options.
Well, we were staying at New Everett, so we were getting fed well there.
Aha!
Ah, very good.
Well, what was really interesting is, you know, where you came up with the baits. Of course, you didn't come up with a 12 or a 10-inch type of bait because we don't really have many of them in the walleye world. Mm-hmm. You kind of got to go into the musky box to find that.
Right.
Tell us about, again, I thought it was going to be flicker shads, and you come up with something a little bit different.
Yeah, it was flicker shads that worked for me in the past in the trees. You know, and in the past, I mean back in the, 2007, 2008, 2009 era when the water was down quite a bit. And as you know, Lynn, we fished trees back then that were quite a bit shallower, they topped out at like 25 to 35 feet. So
yep.
Those were a little easier to reach. And this year when I got to the system and saw the water depth and went to some of my old trees that I looked at, and, you know, most of the depths there are now 50 to 60 feet down. So it's just a matter of adding a little bit more weight to the line to get it down there. And then, running four rods down there right off the boat, had two long rods off the side, two straight off the back, and you just start giving them, the plethora of baits, just seeing what they prefer. Do they prefer a shad style? Do they prefer a minnow style? And then what length? Do they want the short ones? Do they want the long ones? And after about 2.5 days of playing around with these deep fish, for me it was that 3 to 4 inch bait was key, and definitely in the minnow style. So I picked out the flicker minnow in a size 7. That was by far my number one size. And then color-wise, it was all blues. Blue, and more blue. That's all I ran during the tournament, any shade of blue. And that's what worked for me. So, of course, during the tournament, you start running low on a lot of baits because you're banging them into the trees constantly and you're losing a lot of baits. So you're picking out any bait that looks good and looks the right size, and eventually you're going to lose that one, and you just keep grabbing more until you're done for the day. But
something that looks blue.
anything blue. Yeah, and then in the shallow trees that I fish by Swan Creek on the way in every day, now those trees topped out about 10 to 12 foot, and they were in 20 feet of water. And in there, I was running just a standard trolling setup. I was running standard trolling rods with offshore boards, 10-pound test XT monofilament. And then I was running them 40 to 50 back, and those were all flicker shads, number 7. And same thing, all in the blue colors, and pick the tops of the trees and hang on. Those two combinations worked for me.
I saw you brought back the 15-pound fire line and everything. You were ready to do combat fishing.
Yeah, it was. I was actually using a 15-pound trilene braid, which is that's an 8-carrier braid. It's not actually fire line, and
okay.
It's a real thin diameter, but super, super strong. And that's what you needed to get down, to those trees that are 50 to 60 feet without having to put out a ton of line and having all that extra drag back there. So, yeah, it was a 15-pound trilene braid.
Excellent.
And we talked about here in the last minute, because I know you got to get out and take some high school, do some mentoring, yep, and show some high school bass fishermen the Lake Mille Lacs. But you didn't have a lot of company down there. In fact, I didn't hear of a lot of people fishing that Whitlocks area, really.
Yeah, when I pulled into that spot, I was a late boat number on day one, and I pulled in there and I was literally shocked that I could not see another boat. I said, man, either I found something really special here or I missed something. You know how it is.
Yeah. Or did I just have a one-day wonder here while we were...
Right. Right, exactly. So when I pulled in there, I said, this should be good. And it didn't take me but a half an hour. And I had a 15.5 incher and then a 21 and a 27. And the rest is history. I mean, nobody bothered me there. I left it all to me. And then the other area I went to on day three was just south of 212 and in an area down there by Stove Creek and all that. And Lynn, you know that area pretty well. And once again, I had that all to myself and not a boat around. So it was just a cool week, being able to fish areas by yourself and get it done.
Yeah, I can't... I just can't believe that with the history of the AIM tournaments and the South Dakota Walleye Classics that were all the top weights were coming from those trees,
right,
in those two areas. And why guys, when I heard the 115-mile one-way run, I'm like, oh my word, in 20 to 30 mile an hour winds, how's their equipment and their backs and their co-anglers,
right,
and how's everyone going to hold up Jason P? And then Jason P goes, I'll just go 35 miles and get this dialed in.
And that's
right. And we'll go to the best section of the river and just go whack on them.
Yeah. Yep. I know it. That is so awesome. Well, I know you can't get things like this done alone. I know that surviving on the road isn't just done alone. It's partnerships with a lot of people. So,
right.
Jason, in the last minute here, just give us a little idea. Sure. Who do you thank and deal with when it's time to hit the road?
Sure. Of course, I've been doing this since 2007 full-time and since 1995 as a tournament pro. So it's been a long road to get here of course, my wife, she started with me 22 years ago, and we got married the year I started tournament fishing, and she's still with me and supports me 110%. I got two beautiful boys that are now a senior in high school and a freshman, and they're following in my footsteps. And my family and friends, of course, they're always behind me and supporting me everywhere. But a few sponsors I got to just name out for sure right off the bat. My title sponsor is the Bone Collector Brands and Hardcore Brands, which... Those of you that know the hunting world, that's with Michael Waddell and all the boys, and started a relationship with them in 2012, and that's been nothing but great. Ranger and Evan Root have been with them since 1999 and 2000. And Minn Kota and Humminbird, of course, all the electronics, trolling motors. Berkeley and Pure Fishing, been with them quite a few years. Fluger Fenwick, Abu Garcia Line Counters, Airway Pedestals, Offshore Tackle, the list goes on and on, and it's just a great group of people that support me, and of course couldn't do it without them.
Thanks a ton, Jason. We're when you watch this video, you'll just see us doing stretching exercises in the back.
Lynn,
you know,
was trying to hug me.
We got a couple radio guys.
Facebook Live.
We got a couple. Guys that have faces for radio and bodies for radio, and we're kind of getting old. But you know, this Facebook Live is kind of an interesting thing.
It absolutely is.
Now they know that we eat sandwiches and drink coffee while we do all this. That's why we have so much fun.
Right.
All right, Jason P. Awesome. We thank you for spending some time with us on a busy week. I hear you're coming back to Watertown in the airwaves later this week. So if someone wants to listen in, we'll give a plug for Katie's show on Saturday morning. I'm never up in town.
Yeah.
But he's going to be a guest to Katie Hansen. She fishes in our fishing league. So and we love her to death. We like her show. And enjoy. Enjoy the win and savor it.
Nice job, Jason.
Sounds good.
All right, everyone. Thank you to Jason P. What else is going on in the fishing world, Neil? I heard Don Locke wasn't the only one that blew up his motor on Lake Oahe on final day.
I had a little problem with mine to start off the day. Anybody sees the results from the Elite Series, they'll see me near and at the bottom. It's because we got to troll right in front of the dock all day.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Did you get them figured out?
No, not a bit. Well, we got the pike hammered out. We must have caught a dozen monster pike.
Oh, you did. Okay. Well, that you know sucks. What? I had a question after last week's show.
Yep.
How are people going after the perch on Dry Lake where this Elite Series walleye event was? But you had mentioned last week that there's some people that are really seeing some nice perch. And That got some listeners a little excited, and they were like, how do you go after those? I
talked to two old guys that are out there fishing. They were slip bobbering just on the north. You know where the boat ramp is, where that road goes north? Just north of the old island out there.
Really?
Yeah, and that they've been
slip bobbering, and he goes, and this guy said, are they using minnows?
Minnows and a slip bobber.
Really?
Yep. I talked to a guy, and he had his minnow bucket hanging over the side of his little boat, and he could go faster than I could.
No.
Yep.
No kidding. So
yeah, they were
really
doing good down there.
Yeah, and the perch. I mean, there's some perch bites going. I mean, even Compesca, pulling a crankbait down Compesca or Big Stone. I'm not sure if those two bites are holding off yet this past week. But we're not much on Fishing Report, guys. We like to, you know, explain how to go catch and find your own fish and have guests on like Jason that explains a technique that we've known of in the past, but he didn't have a lot of company from other tournament anglers. There was 85 tournament anglers, and he was alone on these trees.
And that blows my mind. You fish Francis Case this time of year, everybody pulls trees. You fish Oahe, nobody does. I don't understand why.
Well, because 10 to 15 of the anglers drove all the way to Peoria Flats by a pier to fish the trees instead of
right by Gettysburg. Oh, well.
Well.
That's why it's fishing.
That's why they call it fishkin.
Speaking of perch fishing.
Perch fishing. Oh, God, yeah. Are we starting to plan a little trip for
this winter? Have no boat right now, so I got some time to think. We should go ice fishing up at Devil's Lake.
Yes. For everyone that loves to talk perch, there's one place that a lot of us have dreamed about going perch fishing.
Yes, absolutely.
And where is that, Neil?
Well, it's in Devil's Lake.
Devil's Lake.
With
don't,
Zippy.
Don't tell everyone. And we're getting some early preliminary planning done on staying and fishing with, I believe, Pete Harsh and Zippy Dahl with the Perch Patrol.
I hope so.
Is where this is going to lead us. And we're picking out a couple days of fishing.
Yep.
A couple nights stay. And we're going to try to keep this very affordable. So, you know, Neil has a couple ideas on lining up a bus. We're going to decide whether we take two, what do you call those? Not mini buses, but
like the short bus that you used to ride to school.
Correct. Like like when you're from Hoven.
You're from Hoven and you got to ride
the short bus.
That's right. That's what you get in Hoven.
In Dubrook, we had one short bus when I was a kid.
Oh, in Hoven, all you have is short buses.
Oh, is it really? Yeah, they got to drive 100 miles just to get it filled up.
That's exactly right, unfortunately. And we're going to make it affordable because we're going to have it in May.
Okay.
Nope.
I think we could get a great deal on it in May.
Looking right after the first of the year, hopefully, sometime in there, huh?
You know, we got to only just work it around a couple Caribbean trips.
That's right.
That's important. I mean, when you live up in this part of the country, If part of surviving is taking your spouse to the Caribbean.
Or I don't get the fish.
So that's the only thing, folks, we're kind of working around right now. And actually, no, we're going to probably set this up during the week also. Everybody's busy on the weekends. The Perch Patrol is way busy on the weekends. Yep. So it's going to work out better that we do maybe a drive up on a Sunday afternoon.
Come home on a Tuesday night.
And come home on a Tuesday afternoon, maybe fish for a half a day on a Tuesday, fishing all day Monday, something like that.
Yep.
So if anyone has some ideas, now we're not going to be able to work it around everyone's schedule. We're going to work this around Randy Grimes' schedule, Neil Jensen's schedule, and maybe Randy Angermeyer, because he was pretty excited about that.
I see that.
Yeah, he's pretty excited about that.
And, of course, Lynn's schedule.
No, we're not going to worry about Lynn.
Well, Mr. Vacation's in the Caribbean most of December, January, and all of March, so we've got a little problem.
I'm lucky if I can afford 5 days. I can hardly afford to do anything, let alone go to a Perch Patrol thing. So
we're going to have a good time.
Oh, where is my billfold? Sure it is. It's empty again.
There it is. It's a little
all right,
lost
Randy
it.
Grimes, that's another week of On the Water in the Air. And everybody, we thank you for listening to another week of this.
Thank you.
All right, 8:02 our time, and this is the radio station KSDR Watertown as we join Fox News Radio.